The surprise of this election has been a challenge for some parents. Of course, for others, it was victory. And so it was high fives from families in places around the country. But we've heard from a lot of you out there who were sincerely, sincerely full of anxiety because of this election. And Asia Badi is a Muslim woman and mother of two daughters who shares that anxiety. She lives here in New York City. And listening to her when we spoke was a lesson this week in civics. The hope of an American dream that Asia says is still alive, even though she's had to deal with some significant fear this week.
The morning of, after the election, yesterday morning, I heard the results, and I really dreaded having to tell them. And I had to really think about, how do I tell them in a way that they feel okay and are comfortable and not scared? So my older daughter, Antalya, woke up and came out, and she asked me what happened, and I told her, and she said, okay. Didn't say much. She's very composed and quiet. But my little one, I went to tell her. Anaya is 8 and very intrigued by the whole process. And I told her, and she's like, Mama, you know, you're kidding, right? There's no way. I said, no, honey. Donald Trump is president. And her little face crumpled up. I was like, are you sad? And she said, yeah, Mama. And she cried, and she cried, and she crawled into my lap. And so we talked, and we talked about the fact that even if he's president, there's a lot of laws and regulations. We talked about the fact that there's a Senate and a Congress and the Supreme Court and all these people that are there to make sure that nothing bad happens and that people are safe.
Do your children believe that Donald Trump hates Muslims?
So my younger one, earlier this year, she came home from school after hearing a conversation about that, asking me if Donald Trump became president, would we have to leave our home? She's been nervous about it and worried about it. And at that time, I told her that, no, I mean, he says that, but he really can't do that because of the laws in America. And there are a lot of people that are going to make sure that that doesn't happen.
I spoke with someone who said, we won in response to the Trump victory, and he represents a whole set of ideologies, among them being, you know, it would be great if in 40, 50 years, America returned to being 90% white and Christian. How does that make you feel?
It's horrible, right? Because it means that the only America that those people see is a very white Christian America. And they don't see that even if I'm not white and I'm not Christian, I have some very similar beliefs and ideals, right? We believe in everyone having the right to have access to education. Like my Christian and Jewish friends, we all want our children to have education. We want them to be comfortable and happy and successful in whatever way they are. Those are all ideals that have no race, that have no religious sort of dumb. Everybody believes in those things. And the fact that people can't see past that, it's upsetting. And it's scary. But I don't believe that everybody's like that. I know there's a portion of the population. I really can't believe that everyone's like that. I think that, you know, if people truly knew others and were given opportunities to meet other people, they would see the similarities. I see that in Ohio. I see that in the communities that I know here.
What do you think is the impediment that keeps America from mixing better? There are plenty of people who support Donald Trump who think that multiculturalism doesn't work.
Yeah.
One of the evidences of that is, and I don't believe it, but one of the evidences of that could be that we don't mix well. We don't see people who are different from us enough to make a difference. What do you think could change that?
I don't have an answer, John. I really don't have an answer on that one. I don't know how. I think there'll be time. I think that over time, there are more and more immigrants coming into the country. And I think that is fearful for people. But those people will come, and they stay, and they become second-generation Americans. Just like historically, the Italians and the Irish were considered sort of a scary.
Oh, but they're white. They're white. That's different. They're white. See,
I know.
White.
I hear you. I mean, I am scared of that.
Well,
but do I want to instill that in my children? No.
No. We do have a lot of work to do.
We do.
All of us. The Muslim world and the Arab world and places where I've spent a lot of time as a foreign correspondent are places where institutions are weak, where people are full of suspicion, where you get rounded up on the street and thrown in prison. And those stories undoubtedly have made their way into, you know, your household, mm-hmm. about, you know, the places where Muslims are the majority. Mm-hmm. What would you say to your children that is the principal difference between those places and the United States right now?
I think we have stability. We have a government that that exists. We have freedom of speech, right? We have the ability to actually get the word out and that people respond. You know, I joined a community board, and that has been empowering, right? And I've gotten to know people who are elected officials and people who want to be elected officials. And one of the things I keep telling my Muslim community, whether they're here or far, is that there is a path. You have to find that path and get to know your elected officials and get to know the people who want to be elected officials and be an elected official or whatever, and really advocate. So, you know.
Have you told your daughter that?
Yeah, I told her that. Now I'm even more inspired for them to be part of that process and feel empowered.
All right. Atiya, thank you so much.
Thank you. Can I add one more thing?
Yeah, please.
So over the summer, we discussed a lot about what was going on. And I mentioned to my daughters one time, one of the RNC leaders told people, didn't endorse Trump, but he did say, you know, pick who you want, pick who you believe is the best. And my 8-year-old Anaya said, Mama, I was just daydreaming about that. And I said, you're daydreaming about Ted Cruz? She's like, no, I was daydreaming. I was running for president. And I said to the people, pick who you think is right. Pick who you think is going to do a good job.
No, that sounds like hope.
I know. And I want to keep that hope.
All right. Thank you so much, Atiya.
Thank you.